going on to the county exec. You missed the capital projects. Work is beginning next week on the Keller Farmhouse exterior. We had to wait to do a small asbestos abatement that was left over from long ago. It was just a ductwork pipe down in the basement. At the request of the county exec, we are putting the generator project on hold until next year at this point in time. It's just that we've got so many balls in the air right now that we'd rather not drop anything, which makes sense. We agree with that. The college attorney is on the water. The college attorney is working on eminent domain action to get the property easement that we need. Both Marbletown and Rosendale town boards formally endorsed the project. I think we reported that before. And we should be on the November agenda for the DEP water board at this point. So it's progress. It's slow progress, but it's moving along. Relative to Sophie Finn, and I'm sure Dennis will have some further comments on that. Hazardous materials abatement bids have gone out. The work to start has already started. It started September 2nd, I think. General construction bids are being awarded with construction starting November 1, and again, completion somewhere around August 1st, 2015. So resolutions, we've got the STRIVE resolution tonight to adopt the changes to the project due to construction cost refinement, and next month will be the faculty contract. That's what I have at this point in time. Any questions?
We're leaving us the week past the STRIVE thing. Do we have to pass any part of that?
There's a resolution on it?
We have a 373 resolution about it.
Would you want to have Dennis address that now?
Well, I don't know. We're just talking about STRIVE, so that's the only reason I ever mentioned it.
We prepared some briefing documents, and rather than try to bore everybody with a PowerPoint, can we just hand these out to you so you have them? But Mark is here also to address. So I just wanted to give you a little background in terms about where what STRIVE was, and I'll be really quick with regard to this. And so it really was an initiative to address the needs and implement creative problem solving across the public sector organizations. It created a fairly unique partnership between SUNY Ulster, the Ulster County, the City of Kingston School District, whose building we bought because they surplus and closed that school, and the City of Kingston as well. We've been involved in the City of Kingston through the comprehensive plan process. This project was essentially part of a survey work that was done for the comprehensive plan, and over 95% of the respondents essentially participated and indicated they were in favor of the project. It's multi-phased. It involves solves some critical issues that crosses a substantial number of organizational boundaries. The goal here is to improve low graduation rates in the Kingston High School. When we started the project, the Kingston graduation rates generally were around 70%. For Latinos and other ethnic minorities, they were less than that, in the 50% range. It was also part of consolidating some of the county properties that we currently have. Remember, moving out of the BRC allows us to essentially consolidate some of our work, and you've seen some of that already in action where we've essentially been able to surplus the Flatbush Avenue building, and we're also looking at surplusing the IS building in the future as part of this. Of an existing building that was proposed to be sold by the City of Kingston School District, and we were looking at it as a model for intermunicipal support. The renovated closed elementary school is going to be used as a classroom for SUNY Ulster, and it will relocate the college operations from the business, most of the college operations, from the Business Resource Center to the site adjacent to the high school. The site has a significant amount of renovation work that needs to be done to it. This is not your elementary school when we're finished. It's not basically painting the walls and opening the school up. In order to accommodate the college, we've added 130 parking lots to the upper level behind the school. We've reoriented the entrance to the school from the front of the building to the back of the building. We've gotten some grants, and we're going to be doing some fairly innovative green infrastructure improvements associated building, including permeable pavements, as well as great gardens and bioswales. We're also going to change the slope of the access road to make it more acceptable to get in and out of that 130-lot parking lot. Moving inside the school, looking at it, we're currently finishing up hazardous material abatement, something that the legislature has voted on, and I'll go through that, the votes that the legislature has taken with respect to these capital expenditures. We're going to add a new elevator to make the building ADA compliant. We're going to do some fairly extensive classroom renovations, including new lighting throughout these classrooms. We're going to replace window walls, so we have all new window wall systems in here, make the building more energy efficient. We're going to do other energy efficiency upgrades, particularly with respect to lighting and some of the air conditioning work as well. Well, you're also going to see a new entrance vestibule in the back of the building that will allow the students upon entering the building to view not only the registration, but looking out from this building. This building has a substantial, fairly fantastic view back to the Catskills across the city of Kingston. The project has a fairly lengthy history. In June of 2012, the county executive proposed a STRIVE initiative. In October of that year, the legislature created capital project number 370, and you authorized $440,000 for preliminary design. We also accepted a $500,000 Dyson grant for the project. You can see the broad acceptance and the broad participation by the funding sources in terms of trying to achieve this vision. In April of 2013, the legislature accepted a $1.5 million Empire State Development Corporation grant, and we also began something called a feasibility study with the CSARC, an architectural firm out of Albany. Originally, when we looked at this project, we were going to rent the building from the city school district. In looking at that rental situation and cost situation, it was decided that we could save a substantial amount of money by going through a purchase over a long-term lease to the college. In order to do that, we needed a referendum from the city school district. The city conducted that referendum, and it was approved. And we essentially had a price for that building at $300,000. In June of 2013, the legislature amended the capital project to $600,000. Part of that amendment was to deal with the purchase of the structure itself for $300,000. In September of 2013, the county accepted a design report, which estimated the total project cost of a little over $7 million. The college trustees endorsed that revised project costs as well as did the legislature in November of 2013. So we now have a revised project cost of a little over $7 million that was endorsed both by the trustees as well as by the legislature. After that was done, the county had submitted a consolidated funding application to the Environmental Facilities Corporation for green infrastructure, and we were notified in December of 2013 of an award of $439,000 for a green infrastructure. And I think Chris White from the office describes this as a mixed blessing. It's 90% funded. But it has caused about 90% of the headaches and paperwork associated with the project to date. We also issued a negative declaration with respect to SEAKER, as we were required to do, so we completed our environmental work with regard to the building. I would note, as part of that environmental work, we did transportation studies. We also contacted the State Historic Preservation Office, and much to our surprise, the State Historic Preservation Office has determined and did determine that the building was eligible for listing on the National Register. That is also a mixed blessing, but fortunately, when they looked at our renovation proposals, they gave us something called a no significant action letter, which meant that we could proceed as proposed. So we're not only renovating a building that's going to serve inner city kids, we're also renovating a building that's eligible for listing on the National Register. The legislature in March of 2014 amended the project cost to $966,000. That included the acquisition cost and also added the money that we needed to do the green infrastructure design. The green infrastructure design is fairly complicated. We did a lot of geoprobes on the site. We worked closely with the stormwater folks in order to make sure that we could meet the stormwater design work associated with green infrastructure. In April of 2014, the legislature accepted the formally accepted the EFC grant. We finally got the paperwork, and we formally accepted the EFC grant in April. In May of 2014, the legislature authorized the purchase of Sophie Finn, so we actually had an authorization to purchase. In order to purchase Sophie Finn, we had to subdivide the property from the City of Kingston campus. We went through a subdivision approval process with the City of Kingston Planning Board, and in June of 2014, the City of Kingston approved the subdivision. That consists of a little over 6 acres of land away from, adjacent to the campus of the high school. In August of 2014, the county took ownership of the Sophie Finn building, and the legislature amended the capital project 370 to include $1.43 million so that the county could do its hazardous material abatement work on the structure. Hazardous material abatement on the structure was advanced on the basis of the fact that we could save time in terms of making our timelines for the structure. In addition, the estimate from the construction manager was that by advancing hazardous material abatement and covering major portions of the structure for the general contractors to see that we would save approximately 3% on the total construction costs. In September of 2014, the hazardous material construction phase began, and the county released our construction bids. And that's the subject of the resolution that's under consideration now, is those construction bids have come back. We opened them in October of 2015. On the next page, you'll see the numbers for this. We had a very robust participation on construction bids for the five prime contracts that need to be issued under state statute. The low bids were the amazing thing here is that our construction manager was very accurate in terms of what he thought the contracts would come in at. The low bids were within a few percentage points of the construction manager's estimates. And all low bidders have now been reviewed by the construction manager. Construction manager and the architect. We still have some final qualifying work that we need to do to make sure that they understood the bid work. But all of the forms, the necessary insurance documents, all of those have been certified. The construction amounts are, for site work, a little over $1 million. For general construction work, a little over $3 million. For plumbing, approximately $200,000. And for HVAC, approximately $973,000. Electrical, $763,000. And the last one, the contract six, is the hazardous material that's already been awarded, and that work is ongoing, if not finished. Mark, do you want to give a breakdown of those bids?
We have, so as Dennis said, we're in the process of qualifying, but I talked to the construction manager at 4 o'clock, and he's qualified all the low bidders, so we know who they will be, and I'm going to work with the county attorney's office tomorrow in getting resolutions for the contracts in late so that they're in front of the legislature on the 21st, but just so you're all aware who the contractors are, we have for general construction, Gerson Construction, and they're out of Albany. Plumbing is S&L Plumbing, and they're out of Brewster. For HVAC, it was John W. Danforth, and they're out of Albany. Electrical was Hudson Valley ECM, and they're out of Milton. And site work is Clove Excavators, and they're out of Kinsey. And they have all been qualified, and so you should see those at the legislature.
Can you give me the GC name again?
Gerson, J-E-R-S-E-N.
Just a little bit about the contracts, Mark. The AI format.
Yeah, oh, sorry. So, like last month when we did hazardous materials abatement contract, it's an AIA document. So, whenever you have an architect as the lead, you have to use these AIA contracts. They look a little different from the standard county contract. Basically, they incorporate the bidding documents, which is a 1,200-page manual, into the contracts. They set forth the price. The scope is incorporated through that manual. I gave legislative counsel about a month and a half ago the bidding documents before they went to the public, so he's had time to review And basically, it'll be five contracts. They'll look very similar, except for they'll specify whether it's for site work, general construction, plumbing. It'll say the vendor name and email, and then incorporate the sections of the manual.
And a little bit about the apprentice language.
We do have language that requires all bidders to have apprenticeship agreements in place, and that was part of the qualification, is making sure that the bidders understood that. And I was told at 4 o'clock that they all did, and that they all of the low bidders have those agreements in place.
And that apprenticeship language extends down to the
subcontractors as well. And one other requirement of some of the grant funding sources that Dennis spoke about, the ESD grant, which is about $1.5 million, 30% of that is MWBE, has a MWBE, MBE goal of 30%. And the ESD grant funding, EFC grant funding, which is the green infrastructure, about $439,000, that is the 20% MWBE requirement.
So ESK, and sorry, I might have just come in before the 2 o'clock, so I had to get the taxi to the train, the Poughkeepsie, and then I thought it
was
good.
Yeah, so, and then the traffic, otherwise I would have pulled it off. I thought I was going to pull it off. Anyway, the STRIDE program, where did it originate?
It was a division from the county executive that began in 2012.
Right, that was with them being, that's with the sale of the home, right?
That involved
sale of the home, and
it involved surplusing county properties, consolidating county properties, as well as trying to make sure that we could bring some of the educational goals to the inner city people.
Right, and then the, I understand the justification, perhaps later or whenever. And then it's the BRC because they want to use the BRC. Right. In other words, the property that the amount of space that you're getting at Sophie Penn is going to be equivalent to how much percentage-wise of the BRC?
Well, it's 31,000 square feet, and that's about what they were using for classroom space at the BRC.
I thought it was about 80%.
No.
If anything, I'm going to say 95 would be the number.
Yeah.
And that other 5 is the thing we're doing the Pier 1 project on.
I just want to understand that, because this began at $4.1 million.
If you'd let me go through, I'll kind of give you a sense of it. We'll go over some of the costing, David, if you want it.
I understand the costing of it.
I don't know whether everybody else does, so I'd like to have an opportunity to have that discussion.
Go ahead.
So what ended up happening, and I'm glad David mentioned the $4.1 million. When we, being the county planning department, became involved in the study, there was an initial costing work that was done. Quite frankly, it was done by Patterson Progress. And we looked at those costs, and we had some misgivings about the costs that were done at that particular point in time. Looked at them and basically said, well, let's take a look at this in terms of what needs to be done with the building as compared to sort of painting the walls and opening up the doors and thinking we could use it for a college, which was pretty much what Pattern done. There was no ADA compatibility. There was no renovation to the classrooms that were involved. We did have some work on those, but they weren't really
whatever
good
happened
work.
To common sense.
Well, I didn't.
I mean, if you look at the, I mean,
I'm just saying that we recognize
right.
I'm just saying that we recognize that.
Turn into a college. It's not. I mean, it's just not compatible because the name school is on there. That doesn't
quite work. I just want to make the idea that we recognize that. So what we went out and did is we did a feasibility study. So that the Pattern's work was, I think, more of a proof of concept rather than does it fit sort of thing. I think the numbers were planning level numbers and subject to change, and I think that's the key to look at that. We went out and did a feasibility study in April of 2013. That came back at approximately $6 million. For that, the feasibility study looked at some additional building improvements, including some of the additional site work in order to make the parking work on site, as well as some of the ADA access work. And then with that, as you can recall, the legislature did authorize us to do to exercise our work and hire a design firm. The schematic design that was completed in September of 2013 was about around $7 million. A couple of things happened with regard to that. Remember, we were originally going to lease the building, so we added a little over $300,000 to the building, to the cost of the project, because we're now purchasing the building rather than leasing the building. And we did some revised building design. The legislature did vote on this project and agreed to this number in, I believe it was, let me go back. The legislature did vote on, I believe it was in
November,
thank you, of 2013 on that to support that amount of funding, a little over $7 million. So the legislature has been on board with respect to the $7 million figure since the November of 2013. Where we are right now, the total number right now is about $7.83 million. And the difference between where we were at $7 million in terms of November and where we are now in October of 2014 can be accounted for in two big areas. One is we added about $439,000 in green infrastructure funding, which wasn't in the original $7 million. That's a 90% reimbursement for that. And two is we've added a 5% contingency to the project to make sure that we have enough money to complete without coming back to the legislature. And that accounts for the difference between where we were at $7 million to where we are now with the bids opened and ready to sign contracts at about $7.83 million.
Now, is the Pier 1 building included in this? What number is that going to be?
What number is that going to be? The renovations for there, probably $750,000, but it's paid for completely by grant.
Okay.
No college operating dollars or anything like
okay.
that.
Okay.
So let me just go through the revenues so the committee can understand the revenues. The revenues of about $3.8 million are coming in from the New York State SUNY Office of Capital Facilities. That's a guaranteed set of revenues that are coming in from the capital facilities. We have about $439,000 from, again, that green infrastructure grant from the Environmental Facilities Corporation. $500,000, which we've already accepted from the Dyson Foundation. $1.48 million from the Empire State Development Corporation. That was a part of a consolidated funding application, at approximately $1.64 million, which is going to be bonded, and the bonding for that will be paid off from the rent that the college will pay the county for the building. And that's a similar relationship than we currently have with respect to the college paying rent for the BRC.
Is the rent the same?
The rent is actually going to be a little, we're looking at the rent, right? We think the rent's going to be a little bit less, and certainly on a less per square footage basis. It's actually going to be less.
Can I interject real quick? That does include the Pier 1 Center when we're talking about the rent. The rent that they will be paying between Sophie Finn and Pier 1 will be equivalent to what they're paying now.
So you guys are doing the Pier 1. The county's
it's a capital cost,
correct.
So the county's doing the Pier 1 also?
No.
The owner's making
the owner's.
Yeah, right. And what we've done is
so in other words, your total rent at this point after this is done will be about the same.
About the same as we're paying currently, and we're eligible for state reimbursement.
We've tried to hold. It's an interesting kind of. We tried to hold costs constant between the projects, and I use the word plural projects, while at the same time recognizing that you have a larger footprint for the college and two different, really two separately different functions that weren't available to BRC. So while we've been able to hold costs constant, I think we can expect that revenues for the college will not be constant. They actually should go up because they're able to reach a lot different audiences. So we would anticipate that revenues could go up.
Why, what's a different audience for me?
Manufacturing, training.
Oh, that's
a
whole
new. And we're also going to have a lot
more.
Yes. The college, I think, is some of the initial discussions we have with the college is looking at the curriculum that's going to be available at Sophie Finn and tailoring that curriculum to the site.
So will we see a reduction in chargeback potential?
No. There were two things that you mentioned that would also impact. One is the side benefit of minorities.
Absolutely.
More graduation rates.
Yeah.
Okay. And the way you're looking at the increase in the overall registration for the college because of not traveling all the way out. You would get people that you normally wouldn't have.
You know, the other side of that is the ones that want to travel there. So, I mean, that's,
well, yeah, I don't know.
We're not planning on numbers increase.
Well,
you know, but I think we'll be able to hold. We will hold what we have. Mm-hmm. Remember that the Pier 1 thing is an additional.
Okay.
I'm just talking about Sophie Finn because that's really
right.
What we're talking about here, the crux of it. So, I mean, we don't expect that to be the
attraction may be not immediate. It may be a number of years down the road when you start working with programs with the kids in high school. It could create a different dynamic, and I think that's where it's...
Mm-hmm. There's lots of potential.
You're not going to see it... it's going to be no different than somebody going to the BRC classes, as far as I'm concerned, at the beginning.
Yes.
But it may have a potential later on because it's in the inner city near the high school. So it could increase those college classes that high school students have to take.
One of the things, the discussions that I've been part of, when you put the college president and the curriculum folks together with some of the discussions that we've heard from the high school superintendent, from the Kingston School superintendent, the possibility for synergies keeps growing.
Yeah.
And we certainly think that that's going to happen. And I think there is a little bit of difference. I think there's a lot of difference between having to get in a car and drive out to the college and having to basically walk out of your classroom and go to college. And I think that's going to be significant. We have within the city of Kingston, within a walking distance of this school, nearly 10,000 people within walking distance of the school. And I think to that extent, and to the executive's vision, which is to try to make this the college more accessible to the city, I think this is going to be a game changer. I really do. I mean, this is
right. It's going to change over time. It's not going to be, because right now it's just the BRC people know they can drive out to the BRC. All those people, most people, are going to drive to there anyway. So they go to the BRC to take their classes, and that the one will drive to Sophie Finn and take the classes.
Sure.
But over time, I think it'll be a change in synergy. Yes.
Yeah.
Dennis, this was very helpful. Thank you. Because for me particularly, it was helpful to get me caught up and really understand the school.
It's actually helpful for us because we forget where we were and how we got to where we are.
Dave, it's really
helpful for us as well. So.
Thank you.
Dave, I'm going to do this one next. Little marks here.
All right, so I guess we'll... entertain a motion to accept the STRIVE Resolution 365 amending the capital programs.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Having none, I call for a vote here. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Heard no one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I touch on one thing real quick before you move?
Yeah, sure. Mark, just hold up a minute. Oh. I just got a question. No, that Mark.
No. I just want to make sure. I think I touched on it before, but you will also be seeing 5 late resolutions for the contract.
Yeah.
And that's just because it's... just opened last week and we're qualifying, so they will be there.
But they'll
and
be
the
there.
Numbers will be there.
They'll be there for next week, you said.
For next week by the. Yes.
And it doesn't matter where you are, there it's always going to be. All righty, the next one is something that we need for you, right?
You want to do the Mark Turner? You want to do the Turner resolution? That's that additional one. Stay a minute, just in case. I think it's.
Well, what one's that? The.
That's the 377.
You want to explain that, Mark?
377. The Celtic Farm. You've mentioned.
Yeah, the coal turn to trucks. Gotcha. Okay. So we did have the bids go out. Coal turn construction was the successful one. I think $147,000 is the amount. And this is to do the exterior renovation work, which is the roof, the siding, the foundation stabilization, the removal of the chimney.
Now, was this considered part of the STRIVE program?
No, it's got nothing to do with it.
It does a little bit. Because
everything we do is pretty much interrelated. But
because of the events that you used at the
correct
at the president's house is now have something else to do that type of thing. So it does have
okay.
But this is more than just entertainment. I mean, you're using this.
Well, I could have used
it.
You can't say entertainment because it's also used for fundraising.
So
you wouldn't want to call that entertainment if somebody's giving you a lot of money, right?
Siding, foundation, soffits, guttering, chimney removal, because there's a real fireplace chimney that goes up through the attic. We're going to do gas inserts in the fireplaces that are left behind.
That's a pretty good number.
For all that gas.
How big is that?
How many square feet is that space? Yeah. And then we're going to hand it out there. I'm going to say 10,000.
John's going to have a field day with that.
Yeah, I had a couple bidders. It came in significantly lower than we thought it was going to be. It'll enable us to do more with the current budget that we do have for the interior renovations. And that will be something that, you know, when have they gotten any materials yet, Mark?
No,
I know they're working.
We're working on getting it.
Now, the gas fireplaces are not used for heating. So then the building is going to be heated with what?
Good question. We got a full. It'll have its own unit separate from the modular that we just renovated for the pressure house.
Most of
the stuff out there is oil. But we do have propane for a couple of the systems that we've got in the pressure testing house. So we may tap off of that. We didn't blow the propane tank out there. So that's what this is for. We're going to get that contract moving soon.
All right. Are you going to move this?
I
moved it. Moved by, let's say, World.
I'll second
it. Let's say, Roger.
Okay.
Any discussion on it? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None?
Mark, my usual question, and take 30 seconds to answer. Are you any closer with the city of New York and all of that to the water out there?
I did update earlier on that. The water board, we're supposed to be on their agenda
in
November.
Okay.
The easement, we are proceeding. Our attorney is proceeding with eminent domain in consultation with the county attorney. We may have to engage another attorney that specializes in this because there's very few cases of it that we've seen that have been.
I was tying it to the other.
It's okay. That's fine. It's not a problem.
Which we had to do on local.
No, you're going to have to make environmental findings on
intention. Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I made those findings.
You did a good job.
All righty. Now I guess we go back to the regular order here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Thanks.
Thanks, Cass. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave.
I know you won't say the same, but that's okay.
Dave. 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 Dave Mary.
All righty, entertain a motion to approve the minutes. All righty, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right. Okay, good.
John, the Poughkeepsie was
around us. Otherwise, you came all the way up. You came all the way up. You made the whole trip from here.
Yeah, I left Tampa. I was in Tampa.
He just came from Tampa?
11. Yeah, I tell you that.
Why? 11:15.
11. Every flight.
11:30, you got on an airplane and flew over.
Yeah, into LaGuardia.
It's amazing you hear this.
No, I got, well, I got in there. I got there at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, mm-hmm. Ordered mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got time. You talked to me. You took
a band. 1:50, so we were listening to. And then I got the, I took a taxi over to 125th in Harlem.
Yeah.
See, if you went the other way, I would have been late, much later. Grand Central, even though it's about the same distance, but you're going further south.
That's right.
We're recording, guys.
So you took the MTA then, right?
You're on tape.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The tape.
All right. All right. I don't know.
We'll find out.
It was supposed to be the Justin Saffron.
I think they're asking for it.
I don't know if Dickie told you. Craig asked us to postpone
that,
but he wasn't sure if the speaker was coming or not.
Okay, you're just in time, Mike.
Oh, good. It was resolution.
All righty, what do you got?
Well, I just wanted to update you on what we've done with the additional $5,500. If you remember, in 2013, we renovated our kitchen and our community room. Last year, we started our mobile food pantry. We delivered 4,800 meals to homebound seniors and disabled adults. We started an after-school feeding program. We served 3,300 meals to school-age kids at the Roundout. This is all being cooked out of our renovated kitchen. We started a summer feeding program. We served almost 1,500 lunches and snacks at the Hodge Center. Next year, we have a goal of 3 more summer feeding program sites in Kingston, 1 in Shandaken, and 1 in Rochester. These are our large camps that have been identified with a significant number of low-income families and individuals, and right now they're not eating. What's happening is, like happens in almost every program, counselors are bringing in their lunch, giving it to the kids, and so we are going to do that starting next year. And we've also started food processing at our location. It's on a very small scale right now, but we did make, after a lot of labor, 250 quarts of organic tomato sauce, 20 bushels of corn, peppers, kale, and broccoli, all frozen for the winter. And that's one of the directions that we really want to go into. We also now are delivering bread to 6 food pantries. So we're kind of morphing. You know, we're getting into the food business. And our goal is to make sure that not a single kid in this county doesn't go to sleep without a hot meal. So that's what we've been up to. Starting next week, we will have the second free farmers market in Kingston. They're bringing in 12,000 pounds of food. 6,000 go to People's Place. 6,000 will go to Ulster County Community Action. And whatever left over, we distribute to the other food pantries. And the last thing, just because I'm extremely proud, and I think the committee needs to hear this, is we just had our 3-year state audit from the Department of State. In 2011, we had 37 negative indicators. This year we had 9. 5 of them were for violations of Robert's rules and seating board members. We did our best, David, but the state didn't like our process. So we've come a long way. So the money has gone to good use, and we're going to continue to do the same. We're just going to continue to look at where there's gaps and weaknesses in deliveries and try to work out a plan. We will start transporting seniors to the farmers market. And also, Reverend Kelly asked me to transport we have about 60 kids living in hotels, or motels, not hotels. And we're not going to let them celebrate Thanksgiving in those motels. We're going to transport them over to a community Methodist church, and we're going to have a party for them versus them sitting around a table, no, a bed with styrofoam containers. It's just unacceptable to us. So it's been a very interesting 2 years. I just served my first 2 years, October 1st. Been a big learning curve, a lot of work to be done, and you guys have really were the impetus behind all of this, all for $5,500. So it's gone a long way. So
great job.
Well, thank you. It's very, very interesting.
Now, Mike, you asked, I think you asked for an increase of, if you could, what did you ask right now? What was the number?
Well, I asked for either five or 5,500.
Okay.
Part of it is I want to expand my operations. We're not serving Southern Ulster County with the mobile food pantry. We know there are pockets. So we have set goals for ourselves, and obviously funding is important. The mobile food pantry, we want to do 10,000 meals. After school program, 7,500 meals. Summer food program, I told you what we're looking for. And we're looking to process food from July next year through November. We're looking to have a full-time driver on board by then. We also have a fleet of 5 vehicles to distribute food, and we have a fleet of 2 vehicles to move people. We're building capacity. We are a member of the Ulster County Disaster Recovery and Response Team, and Ulster County Community Action is in charge of the feeding program. We did get all of our money back from sequestration, which it was a plus. But we're still at, with our outreach programs, we are still not at 2010 funding levels. We're at 2007. And it doesn't look like there's a whole lot more money coming from the state. And we have not been reauthorized in almost 20 years. So our hope is when we get reauthorized on a federal level, they'll increase some of the distance. But stop laughing. But that's
there, done that. Right?
Yeah, so we're not.
We're optimists at heart, aren't we?
And every year it's the same. So that was kind of the reason. We're getting into a whole other avenue, and we've done this really on a shoestring. I am a certified food service worker. But again, we need to professionalize this. I need to get a cook on board. So that, again, we can make sure that these meals are great. Like, I can cook, but I cook like you cook at home. That's not the federal standard. You know, when I make macaroni and cheese for 50 people, it has 15 pounds of cheese in it. Government, you got to put like 3. So kids loved it. So that's kind of what we want to do. You know, again, the opportunity's there. These kids are not eating it. So that's a role I think we can help play.
Well, I think we had a discussion last time. One of our concerns was the idea that reaching out outside the city of Kingston. I mean, for me, it's great.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, you know. But I have to, you know, we all have to look out for everybody. So I'm glad to hear that you're, you know, going and starting to do some things other than Kingston. All right.
No, I think it's a remarkable report.
Well, thanks. It's not that easy, but it's an agency that I think, with a lot more work, we can get back to where they were in, you know, the 1970s.
Right.
And I have good staff. They just lack leadership. They're doing the work. I just give them a little bit of nudge here or there. They're doing the work, and the way I operate is I allow them to come to their own conclusions. It's been 2 years. When I got to Ulster County Community Action, the food pantries were open from 9 to 11. They're now open 9 to 4, and we've just started night hours. But again, I allow them to come to that decision because this way it'll work. If I tell them and I don't keep on top of them, next thing you know, she's closed up again. So we're getting it, and our numbers are up, but we're going into heat season, and it's frightening. We gave out $40,000 last year in rent relief. This is all old funds. These are no new dollars. He said that we've reorganized, and if we had $100,000 in rent relief, it would be enough. $200,000 and energy. Last year we got right after the winter, the number of stories were horrific with electric usage, $1,500, $2,000. By that time, the city, the county, we were all out of money. We just can't, you know, we just can't do enough. There's just not enough money to do all the things we have to do. But we have to pick and choose, pick and choose. So.
All righty, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks.
There you go. I guess we'll discuss the idea of the increase.
Sure.
He has for an added $5,500.
It was 5,000.
What is it currently?
It was five. It was five.
He had an added five.
It was an additional five. He asked
for.
Right. So what's the base?
Our number is like around 20. Mike, and let me ask you a question before you run away. Geez, the air, I thought I was going to give myself a nice tour.
The last one I asked.
What is the total amount that the county gives at this point?
Right now, $16,750.
Right.
Give or take.
But it used to be, I think,
$11,000.
Well, yeah, but before that. It was 20.
Oh, I'd have to
22,
look.
22, I think.
It was. I would believe it was higher. I would have.
Yeah,
to
it was. I think when they were ways back when there was some significant cuts, they stayed and then they were cut again. So I believe it was somewhere around 22.5, mm-hmm. Maybe 24. I believe the number was before it was got cut down to 11. I think you were cut maybe in half.
Oh, okay. Well, and again, I would say that the. You know, we have something to prove to the legislature that, you know, that money will be well used.
So the total number now is 16.75, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, good enough. Right. Thanks, Mike.
I have my own. It's going to rain, people.
Yes, it is. But I would think that based upon that report, and what encourages me the most is the reach out. We've always had reach out problems, whether it be with Meals on Wheels or whatever it was.
Right.
And if that can reach out beyond where it's going now, I think that's a minimal amount of money to do a maximum amount of good.
Right, because what's encouraging is the idea that the Ellenville and Kingston is bad. And I know there's people that need it other yeah. places too, so. So, I mean, right now he's at 16.75, and I mean, the other one would put them about where they were before. So,
well, the management, he's told, is giving us numbers of violations that have been rectified and things that are moving along. It's being managed in a way which appears, at least from the report, it appears to be something that we would find appropriate and worthwhile. So, I would say, let them expand a little bit more to help more people for that kind of money. I think it's well worth
a good investment.
Yeah. All right, so
would you do a supporting resolution like you did with the others?
Yeah, same thing. Supporting resolution to put their number from 16,750 to 21,750.
And this goes right.
I'll check. I took some other paper. I'll check and make sure those figures. Because it was
really
a 5,000 increase. That
this
I know.
Is, yeah, I know it was 5,000. It was either that or 5,500.
This is direct money to people directly. It's
oh, right. It goes into because they get, well, they're federally funded. It's
I understand.
And these are the added things that they do with the local money.
It's not like buildings, it's not like other stuff. It's going directly to people with mental problems, people with heat problems. People that have problems that need
when
help.
When we added the first five, the 5,500, we did that, we get the kitchen straightened out. That was the important thing because it was in disrepair. So, now we're actually using it for programming. All right, so anyway, that's the, there's a motion.
Yeah, we don't have a motion yet.
All right, the motion.
Mary?
Okay. Second.
Already. All those in favor?
Aye.
And Lee hasn't spoken yet. I don't know if you know that.
Go ahead, Lee.
Here's our Okay, let me pop off the press ultra current. There's a bunch of things in there. Donna. I know. It's hard for me even to look at a picture.
I know.
We're super busy. looks like it's going to be a really phenomenal apple harvest. Weather has cooperated pretty much the entire season. Corn is just about gone. We had a fundraiser with family of Woodstock in September, try and do some fundraising at a harvest festival, which I think was a lot of fun, spotlighted a lot of Ulster County agriculture. Had about the same amount of people who came last year as came this year. Million festivals going on. Those folks that did the Garland Festival 25 years ago knew what they were doing. It's hard down to, get that level of participation with the events that we're working on. So a big thing that's coming up is our annual dinner, which is coming up next week. I guess 2 weeks. No, next week. 23rd, Thursday. Honoring Friends of Extension. There's a fall banquet information in here. Friends of Extension are folks who volunteer for Cornell Cooperative Extension over the years. This year, we're honoring the Herds Family Farm, Marty Gallus, Dr. Beth Alden from the Community College for her work with our Vet Science Program, and Heidi Kirschner. Our philanthropic honoree is Gillette Creamery. They have supported the 4-H milkshake booth at the fair for over 20 years and have provided us with wholesale access to ice cream, which has allowed us, the kids, to actually do that booth and make some money at it, as well as a truck to keep the ice cream cold. It keeps it at like 30 below. Hard to scoop, but, you never lose any ice cream that way. So we're also going to be honoring Donna Marie Raganese, who is a former board member of Cooperative Extension. A woman just passed away recently from Accord. Worked for CASA. I mean, just volunteered all over the place, whatever. So she's a great loss. We have, for those of you that are interested in science around stream management, we've got a Catskill Environmental Research and Monitoring Conference, which is going to be at Bel Air Mountain. On the 23rd and the 24th, same day as our annual dinner, but you can go to the conference in the daytime and come to the dinner in the evening. They've got a speaker talking about web-based citizen science, getting everyday citizens involved in noticing what's going on in the natural world and being able to put that online so that scientists either at Cornell or in the local area can use that information and helping to make decisions on that. There's all kinds of other projects going on, and you can take a look at this. Our Relatives as Parents program did a backpack program for youngsters. They handed out over 60 backpacks to children who are being raised by relatives, grandparents, and whatever. Money was provided from Desmond Foundation grant that actually runs that program and keeps it going. It also provided money to provide a trip to the Bronx Zoo for the children and their caregivers. They're looking at also doing a couple of trips this fall. Enrichment kinds of opportunities program is designed for caregivers to give them education and support that they need. And for the children, it's to give them a support group, a support base to help them feel like they're a part of the fabric community of Ulster County, and not being
Yo, anybody? We have a meeting going on here, and you could please keep it down.
What?
For those of you that keep track of our nutrition programs, which are all funded, the SNAP-Ed program that we ran, which we had been running through It's federal money that runs through the state, that runs through local DSS, and then comes to us, and it's education for families that are people who are on food stamps, and it's education to help them stretch their food dollar and then learn how to make the best use of foods that are available to them with an emphasis on fresh and natural foods. That program ended and then was reformulated. DSS is still involved, but not to the same extent that they had been before. It is now a regional program, so we're working with the seven counties in Southeast New York to put this program on, bigger emphasis on where we used to do individual cooking skills for folks. This is more of an emphasis on social and environmental reach for food for low-income families and whatever. So we lost three positions on that because they changed the recommendation for education needs that folks needed to have. So one of our people who had a master's in social work needed to have a master's in public health or nutrition. So it didn't translate. Luckily, he found another job and actually is working for the county doing economic self-support. So just started on Monday. The other two folks who do not have degrees in nutrition but were highly trained, we're still able to fund them half-time on another nutrition grant that we have. And we will be hiring a nutritionist with our name to come in and actually run that program. So we'll still be serving the same folks here in Ulster County, whatever.
Hi,
how are you?
Did you resell it so we can do this so then come right back?
Oh, well, we're almost done.
Okay.
What time is it?
So.
The reason means
huh?
It's been
6?
We're done in 5 minutes.
It's done?
Okay. So.
We've got two.
We have two. Original budget, or the county executive budget came out, which listed us for funding at 312, which is what we had received the past year. Based on that and the fact that we've lost a few grants, et cetera, and we've been really struggling over the past couple of years to pay the rent and electricity and whatever.
We passed a resolution last time.
We want to adjourn for a few minutes?
No, but we passed the resolution.
Oh, great. Great. I'm happy to do that. Okay, great. So things are moving along, all kinds of programs. I hope if you have the ability to come to our annual dinner, that you can. I will tell you that we have an annual meeting scheduled for December 4th. That'll be right in our offices, and the speaker will be Anu, if I got her name right, Bangarajan, who is the new director of the Farm Hub. Cornell professor actually took that job. We're very, very excited about that because she understands how to work with farmers, extension, and the not-for-profit world, which has been, you know, kind of an interesting train ride.
I'm sorry, what time did you say? December 4th.
What day?
December 4th. And that would be a Cornell cooperative.
Say, what time?
I think it's 7 o'clock. But, you know, I have another meeting to give you the details on that. So, looking forward to having you participate in our events and I'm
thank you.
We have two resolutions. One is amending the budget to take use funding for more money for the
$359.
$359. It's pass through money. We already tabled the other one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
So do we have to move that one?
Yeah.
I move it.
Which one? Aging?
The aging, yeah.
Okay.
Is that anybody you're married?
Yep.
All right, all those in favor of the
office
funding.
Aye.
Yes, aye.
Okay,
the
other one.
Is the indigent veteran burial.
How can I know about that?
I'll move
that. Make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, sign the papers.
Motion
made. All right.
Second.
What time is it, please?
6:05.
Huh?
6:05.
So far, we're going to go by.
Okay, we're done.